got three R's we're gonna talk about today. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuce, recycle.
All right, back talking trash at Rosie on the House. We're glad you're joining us. We're here with Lucas Mariocker, the Zero Waste Coordinator for City of Phoenix. Truly an honorable title and a respectable goal, that's for sure. You got a big job there, bud.
We got a lot of people. 30 years to get there. So.
You know, yeah. with a job title like that, you know, you've got pretty good job security.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You know, if I do my job, I put myself out of a job.
You do.
So
that's exactly
right.
It's
a right. good thing. 30 years to do so.
And we have Brenda Yanez, who is with Phoenix Public Works, and she is the public information officer. So she's in charge of all the data and all the communication. And I wanted to kind of come clean and confess that back to Jennifer's comment about the little number in the triangle and the recycle thing that we were all trained, you know, 20 years ago, that had to be our index. I never saw a styrofoam container that didn't have that little triangle index. So I just assume styrofoam was recyclable.
Oh.
Yeah, and styrofoam is that one item that's tricky. So it is more of a harder plastic, but it's not recyclable in Phoenix. It's one of those challenging items. A lot of it's because a lot of the styrofoam has food or liquids on it, so that's why it's not recyclable. But anything that we accept in our programs, there has to be a back-end market for it. So we're never going to put something into our program that we can't sell on the back end. So styrofoam historically has been an item that it's not scalable to get rid of. So that's why it's not recyclable.
It sure burns quick.
It does. But it's not healthy to burn that, so don't be burning it.
Stand back, right?
So another thing that's not recyclable, your electronics. We have what we call our household hazardous waste events that we hold, I believe, every couple of months, and they're starting up again in September. So electronics, do not put those in your recycling containers, guys.
And if I may add, batteries. So a challenge we're having in the industry now is lithium-ion batteries, the explosion of those type of batteries. Mm-hmm. Those cause fires at our facility, so please, residents, do not recycle any type of batteries. Some of those batteries are recyclable at your local hardware or electronics store, though.
Very, very specific locations for all of those. So no batteries.
Correct.
No styrofoam. No electronics.
No textile. No clothing, right? So all of the clothes, you can donate fabrics. You can send them to Goodwill, I think, is one of the places that will accept almost anything, really.
Yeah.
There's so many places that will take clothing.
There's bins everywhere. Yeah. There's those containers.
And we'll make up a resource guide and link you guys to our Facebook page so people can, as they're getting organized and trying to figure out where to take things, they can. But I remembered my question. So just tracking, do you do like a police kind of a check on, do you guys go around looking people's recycling cans?
We check containers from time to time. We're working on a pilot right now, actually, and we call it curbside education program. So we're actually going out to the curb, checking on containers, making sure that what's in there is the right stuff. And we put, either if you're doing a great job, we'll say, hey, keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. Or if you happen to make a mistake, we call it an oops tag. And we'll put an oops tag on there that says, you know, you made a mistake here. You know, next time, please do not recycle that. Put it in your trash container.
Now, the first time I got one of those was kind of creepy.
Yeah. Thanks. Am I standing out on your curb?
Looking
your
through my trash?
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
So did you get a shine on tag after that?
I remember. Oh, you get reward tags, yeah. Something like I had put in there wasn't appropriate. I thought, ooh.
Well, I've noticed there's one little person in our office who just thinks if something can be used again, it's recyclable.
Yes.
Today I found a lock, and we were cleaning out my office and just threw a lock in there.
Well, and that's where we're at today. So, and you guys mentioned you're hearing recycling in the news. Why you're hearing that is because the country, China, has essentially banned a lot of commodities from entering their country. And the reason is because we've gotten into this wishful mentality is that, well, I don't know if it's recyclable, but I'm going to put it in the bin and let them the city figure it out. And the problem is that's cost, time, and money. So every year we incur about $1 million plus a year to process contamination. So stuff that was put in the bin that really should have been either donated or some other outlet or even in your trash container. But so we're challenged with that. We get a lot of stuff that people think it's recyclable or they don't know and they're like, well, the city will figure it out for us. And that's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. It's a very big problem we have to deal with.
And we've been to the one recycling facility. Does that handle the entire city?
No.
There's two.
Yeah, there is two. So we have one, that's the northern, it handles most of northern Phoenix, and we have one down south at 27th Avenue Transfer Station. We have approximately 400,000 customers, so we serve single-family houses for the most part. So anyone that owns houses in Phoenix, any multifamily or condos, most of that's done by the private sector. So we do some nonprofits in schools, but most of our customers are single-family houses in Phoenix.
And I want to say, we probably were introduced into the concept of two canisters separating our trash. That probably goes back 20, 25 years ago when it first began to get rolled out,
early 90s? Yeah, you're right, early 90s. So I think in 1991 is we had our first pilot with recycling, so back in Terry's days, and we're approaching our 30-year anniversary as well. So, but the thing is, you know, people still need the education. We've had programs for 30 years, but we still have contamination. So my job is never going to go away. We have a lot of work to do, and you know, getting the message out with Brenda here is going to be a big part of that as well.
I'd have to imagine going into the schools is huge.
Yeah, we
That's a great age to get their attention.
Yeah, yeah, schools. We do tons of presentations at school, assemblies. We had to do assemblies with the kids, and then the tours that you go on. We do those are a great field trip for schools, so we're happy to have any. And it's free tour for school, so we
invite
schools.
That's important. How would a school participate in that free tour?
Yeah, so you can go onto our website. Just go to phoenix.gov/zero waste, and that'll bring you directly to my team's page. And you can actually just click a button that says zero waste contact form, and schools can actually reach out and then set up a tour with us. And we do tours almost every week of the year on Thursdays from 9 to 2. So we're very flexible. A good thing is we get to schools that are very proactive, so they'll reach out for something in the spring. So,
and how about the public in general? Could they get a tour?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can do a tour for one person, or we can do a tour for 110 people. And they're free, so these are very valuable. And as you guys seen, they're very educational, so you're going to see why some of this stuff's not recyclable in our programs.
It's very eye-opening.
Talking trash, talking recycling, here at Rosie on the House.